Pure Dog Talk is the podcast on purebred dogs. We talk to the legends in the sport and give you tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Pure Dog Talk is sponsored by ChampionshipBreeders.com. Championship Breeders is a proud supporter of the American Kennel Club, our specialty and all breed clubs, our dog sports, and the gifts of therapy and service from our canine companions.
Welcome to Pure Dog Talk, the podcast on purebred dogs. I'm today's host, Mary Albee, and we are excited to have Dr. Gail Watkins from Avidog.com for part three of our Breeding Better Dog series. Gail's first two episodes are 11 and 14 on PureDogTalk.com or iTunes. Dr. Gail Watkins, welcome back.
Hey, Mary. Good to be here today.
Great. Appreciate you being back. And I believe we're going to continue today with the transition
period. Sure. That's the period of a puppy's life from about day 14 to right around day 21. So it starts when their eyes open or really start to crack open. And then it ends once they can hear. And this is a really interesting period. We call it the stage where they go from potatoes, which are newborn puppies, to puppies. And by the end of the transition period, they can walk, they can see. They can't do any of these things particularly well. They're toddlers, but they really have woken up is a way to think about it. So what I'd like to talk about today are the key points of what's happening to the puppy right now. And then based on that, what should we do as breeders to give that puppy the best start possible? So if we start with their brain development, where are they in brain development? They are continuing this really rapid transformation of their brain from what is a pretty unsophisticated organ when they're born to what is a pretty sophisticated organ by the time they're about 6 or 7 weeks old. And that's when they have an adult brain. They can still learn and we can add things in, but they undergo this transformation, and the transition period is really key. What's happening there is their brain and their entire nervous system is going through a process called myelination. And myelin is this thing that is laid down around the nerve cells. I like to think of it as the insulation around electric wires. So when puppies are born, they don't have much myelin, and so their brain and nervous system shorts out. And so it's very difficult for them to learn. It's very difficult for them to process what's happening in the world. Well, by 14 days, a good portion of their nervous system is myelinated, but they still aren't done. And that's really important for us to think about in this 2-3 week period. They are still unable to learn in any kind of effective way. I like to call them slow learners, but they're really extraordinarily slow learners at this point. The other really interesting thing in their brain right now is that they are fearless. They don't have the connection between the fear center in their brain, and so they can't respond in a fearful way. That means that we have to keep them safe because they don't have any ability to keep themselves safe. But at the same time, it means we can introduce them to all kinds of things in the world and they aren't going to be afraid of it. We have lots of issues with fear once we get into the sensitive period. But for now, we sort of have free reins and we can do all kinds of things with her puppies. While this is going on, we want to make sure that they are using their body as well as they can, given how limited they are. And that's something that I always try and remind people that we still need to stimulate puppies. They need stimulation both of all of their senses that are functioning. So that's going to be touch, that's going to be smell, taste from nursing. And then as they go through this period, their eyes open and we're going to start stimulating their eyes. And as they end this period, their ears are open and they're hearing. And now we need to introduce noises and all kinds of unusual sounds. So the keys to this period for development, number one, always at this point in a puppy's life, is their mom. Dams continue to be very important. Mothering is key. Dams can even be more vigorous in their cleaning and scrubbing and manipulation of puppies, and that is stimulating their brain and their nervous system. The sense of touch is really critical to puppies' development, particularly its stress management system. And so we want to make sure that moms are in there scrubbing away if they choose to. If your mom doesn't want to be around her puppy, then you need to start thinking about other ways that you can stimulate these senses, in particular proprioception. So that's going to be the rolling and tumbling that moms do to puppies. That's helpful with early neurologic stimulation, which we spoke of last time. We'll do that for a few more days. But you can actually just take a towel and rub against the way the hair grows. So if you watch moms, they're not usually really gently licking their puppies in the direction that the hair grows. They're stimulating it the other way, which does even more for a puppy's brain. It sort of lights it on fire. And we can do the same thing with towels or other objects, rags, something like that. Nursing's also really key right now. One of the things that has been discovered relatively recently is that a dog's milk changes over a 7-week period. So the milk that is produced very early on is different than the milk that's produced at 2 weeks, again at 4 weeks, and all the way until 7 weeks. It's changing in its protein content, its fat content, its calcium, other really key minerals, and some other nutrients. So we have to ask ourselves, why is that milk changing? Makes a lot of sense that it's changing in response to the needs of the puppy's bodies. So keeping puppies on their mother's milk at this point is important to their growth and development. It also continues to offer some protection against disease, not diseases like distemper and parvo, but the kinds of pathogens that you might find in your house. And it continues to provide probiotics, or those good bacteria, for the puppy's guts. If you've watched moms during this period, you also begin to see them change how they nurse. So early on, they lie down very carefully, hopefully very carefully, around their puppies, and they don't move a lot. Well, as they go into the 2-week, 16 days, 18 days, now moms are sitting up or even standing, which makes nursing more difficult for puppies. But that's really the first problem that puppies are presented with. And just trying to figure out how to get to that nipple does a lot for the puppy's ability to solve problems, its persistence, its confidence, and its use of its body. Because if you watch those really little babies trying to figure out how to get to one of those high nipples, you know they are really struggling. They're developing core strength. They're developing coordination. So that's what moms do. What we need to do is provide the right kind of environment for our puppies and do some stimulation of their senses. The old ones, that's going to be primarily smell and touch, but also the new ones, sight and hearing. And we'll talk about those at the end, but let's start with environment. So when we spoke last time, we talked about traction, and traction is equally important now as puppies are getting up on their feet, learning coordination, beginning the process of walking. They can't do much more than that. Sometimes they'll still be dragging themselves to a certain degree, but that ability to develop strength and coordination is based on what their footing is like. Now, we can begin to change that footing during this period. So say we have a sheepskin down or we have a Duralwell mat down. This is the time to put in a piece of non-slip tile, say a cool tile. And so the puppies will begin to learn to be confident and comfortable on changing footings. Just always make sure that it has good traction and they're not going to slip. One of the other keys during this period is hygiene, and it's important in the neonatal period as well. We'll talk about it this time. We want to make sure that as we are keeping our puppies safe and clean, we're balancing the effectiveness of the products with the safety of the products. In the old days, we didn't have a lot of options available to us. Clorox tended to be the main product that was available to breeders that we knew was antivirals, so it would kill parvo, it would kill distemper, and it was antibacterial, microbial, and it would kill bacteria and fungus that might be in the area. So a lot of breeders started using Clorox and have used it to this day. Kennels tended to use quaternary ammonia products. Those are also very effective. They will kill almost all pathogens. But there's a problem with both of those products. They are harmful, very clearly stated either on the packaging or on the products themselves, that they do harm mucous membranes, skin, and in dogs, scenting ability. So they're going to have an effect on the puppy's nose and its scenting ability. In addition, there's some thought that quaternary ammonia products may contribute to fading puppy syndrome. And fading puppy syndrome remains a real challenge for breeders. We don't know why these apparently healthy puppies begin to fade away, but these cleaning products may actually be contributing to them. So what are our options? Well, number one, take a look at the products that you're using and pull up the MSDS, or the Material Safety Data Sheet. Those are available online for all of these products, or you can reach out to the manufacturer and ask for them. If you Google MSDS and the name of your product, you'll be able to get a copy of that form. And that is submitted to the FDA in the United States for approval of the product. And you can read what are the hazards, where is it dangerous. Very few of them are carcinogens, but there's information about whether or not it's cancer causing. So you can go through and read that. We also have available to us today some truly amazing products that are extremely safe, but are as effective as these old-time products. They are a little bit more expensive, but we all have to balance how do we want to fit that into both the effectiveness of our cleaning products and safety. So two products that I wanted to draw your listeners' attention to were one called Pure Green 24 and another product called Accel, A-C-C-E-L. Pure Green 24 is FDA-approved MRSA-level hospital cleaner that is so natural you can drink it. It is safe to drink. You can dump it all over your skin and your puppy's skin, and there's no harm that comes from it. Accel is an activated hydrogen peroxide product. It is equally effective. It's also hospital-grade. It can handle all viruses and bacteria, and it can be quite effective. It does require drying. It's not quite as safe as Pure Green 24, but it's a little bit more economical, so that may work for your listeners. So as we think about hygiene, the other thing I want to remind everyone, and I know if you're an old-time breeder, you know this, but sometimes when you're a new breeder, you forget that you have to read the directions and follow them. All of these cleaning products have very clear guidance, and usually they have to wait for 10 minutes to be effective. During that 10 minutes, that's when they are functioning to kill the pathogens. If we put puppies back in or we don't let them dry, we'll have less effectiveness. So we want to make sure we've got traction. We want to make sure we have a clean environment for the puppies. Now let's talk a little bit about providing environmental challenges to them, because this is really key. Some of those challenges are going to be sensory in nature. So we're going to stimulate their senses in some way. So we talked last time about early neurologic stimulation and early scent introduction. Those are that 30 seconds worth of exercises you do with the neonatal puppies. You'll continue that until day 16 with your transition puppies. But once they're 16 days old, then you stop and you're going to be looking for other things you can do. This is a great time to introduce soft toys into your whelping box. We tend to get the big, soft kids' toys. Puppies aren't going to chew on them, so it doesn't really matter what's inside them. You just want to give the puppies something to smell, something to touch, and something to see at this point. So you can do different colors, different shapes, different textures. So some toys are plush, some are canvas. You can do rope, anything that will change what the puppy begins to interact with. Provide something different for them. We also will take something as simple as rolling up towels and putting them under the mat in the whelping box. A lot of times I'll hear people say that they have a young dog and they're having to do cavalettis or ladders with it because that young dog doesn't know where its rear is. Well, puppies are born prepared to know where their rear is. What is it that happens that might make it so that they don't? They're raised on a flat surface. And rather than having to use their rear separately from their front, they just have a rear that goes right along behind the front. And the brain begins to rid itself of those extra neurons. Now, they'll still be able to control their rear, but they aren't going to have the finesse that they would if they had to use it to climb, to crawl over things, maybe to crawl under things during this very, very early period. So you want to think about providing very small, we're not putting the Alps in their whelping box, we're just going to do little hills, little changes in the flow of the box so that the puppies have to use their bodies in a different way. And interestingly enough, if you put things into the box, say you put a big teddy bear in, you will find puppies tend to climb up on it to sleep. And so they are using their body not just for the climbing, but for the balance to stay up there, to curl up, to sleep, to get back off of it again. So think about very small things. We'll give your listeners some examples that you can put in the show notes of simple things you have around the house. You probably have some dog toys. You certainly have towels if you're a dog person. And those are great ways to stimulate the puppies.
Are plastic or soft rubber toys okay at this point?
You can certainly put very soft plastic toys in. The thing we just want to be careful of is that we don't want puppies to be injured by anything. We don't want them to get stuck in anything because puppies still can't back up at this stage. They're only able to move forward. And so they can get themselves in all kinds of difficult positions that the brain just can't process getting them back out of it again. But sure, if you wanted to put a Kong in there or Fit Pods.
Water bottles?
You can put water bottles in. You won't get a lot of engagement typically from them. That will come in the next period. But you could certainly do that as something for them to bump all over. That would be perfectly fine. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about is this really interesting change that happens to puppies during this period. So puppies come into the transition period unable to urinate or defecate on their own. They need to be stimulated typically by their mother or by their breeder if for some reason the mother isn't doing it. By the time they head out of this period, they are able to urinate and defecate on their own. And this is the time to introduce potty training to them. We'll talk a lot in the sensitive period about teaching puppies litter box training litters, basically putting a potty box in and having the litter use it. But this is the time to begin to offer the puppy a different surface that will introduce the concept of going to somewhere to go to the bathroom. So we'll usually have, say, sheepskin as your main traction or your main flooring in your whelping box, and you're going to put a pee pad in. You're going to perhaps put a very low potty box in with typically at this stage, a potty pad or a pee pad of some sort is the best, safest thing for puppies to start on. We'll move them pretty quickly into using something else if they're a medium, large, or giant breed puppy in the next section. But for right now, we want something that's very gentle on them because they're still dragging themselves around quite a bit. But even as young as 2.5 weeks, if you put a potty pad in, you will see puppies moving across your whelping box in order to pee or poop on it, which is a pretty remarkable thing for such a limited creature.
So at this point, we don't want to put any of the litter in, just the potty pad?
The potty pad at this stage, maybe towards the end, right around 21 days, you could begin to introduce the pellets, but you're not going to do it much before just because they're not coordinated enough or strong enough to be able to handle it. However, this is a great time to start building your potty boxes if you're going to use potty boxes in the sensitive period. In fact, this is a great time to really start planning. This is a rest stage, in my opinion. Usually the puppies are pretty healthy at this stage. You don't have to be sleeping with them anymore. You're able to regain your strength and prepare yourself for what's going to be an exciting ride over the next couple of months. And so this is the time to say, am I going to move my puppies? Where am I going to move them to? What do I want to use for litter training? And we'll give your listeners the plans to build a potty box so that they can get prepared during this period and know how they're going to get everything set up so that when you get into the sensitive period, they're ready to launch.
So prior to the sensitive period, is this a period where we start introducing, where are they in their fear stage? Is this a place to have noise, not have noise? Where are we with their fear at this point?
So they have no fear. They are fearless or incapable of fear at this point. They don't have the ability to respond to fearful things, hence why we have to keep them safe. But yes, it is a good time to begin to introduce different sizes and shapes of things that might be frightening. We do a lot of hanging toys, things that dangle. And then towards the end of the period, this is the time to introduce sounds to them. We'll begin to play sound CDs. There's some great ones out there. Legacy Canine makes some. Dean Lake, a golden retriever person, has some very high quality ones. You can take those and you can download a lot of them off the internet now. And you can begin to play them at a low volume because remember, those ears are just turning on now. So we don't want to be playing heavy rock and roll for these puppies at the beginning.
I can't Pink Floyd them now.
Playing The Wall at this moment might not be such a great idea, but that can come. Give them a couple of weeks.
Exactly, okay. Okay. Exactly. I need the rock and
roll.
Yeah. You know?
So we want to start low. And the other thing, and I'll mention it now because I think this is such a critical piece. A lot of people use the sound CDs or use an iPod with sounds on them and they play it every day with their puppies and they never move it. One of the really interesting things about dogs is they habituate to experiences very quickly. So if they think the thunderstorm always comes from the lower right-hand side of the whelping box, because that's where you plugged your iPod in, then that isn't going to generalize to the rest of the world. So one of the most important things for us is to move those sounds around the room, high, low, right, left, back, front, and then as they get a little bit older, louder. So make sure that whatever you use to play those sounds is mobile. Even if it's just a laptop or it's your iPad, those are all perfectly fine. Just make sure that they're in a different place every day or a couple times a day.
And on back on the potty box for a little bit, is there a particular size? Is there a particular place that it goes? How much room is appropriated to the potty box area versus where the puppy are for play?
Puppies are not very mobile at this stage, and they are babies. We always have to remember that these are tiny little babies who have only been around, 16, 18 days. So they don't have a lot of warning when they need to go. Sort of the brain says, oh my gosh, I think I have to pee, and they might have four steps in them before they're going to go. So we want to make sure that we give them lots of potty area, and we don't need to give them that much play area at this stage. They'll be much better off actually becoming potty trained than having a huge whelping box or play area and not learning this important habit early on. So you want to make sure we typically will use 1/2 to 2/3 of our box is potty, and then 1/2 to 1/3 is play and sleeping area. And that continues from the end of the transition period or towards the end of the transition period well into the sensitive period. I would say typically by 7 weeks, we'll begin to change that ratio.
And is there any change for the nutrition of the dam at this point?
More food. The most important thing, lots of food. She should be eating a reproductive diet. She should have been eating the same reproductive diet from the time she got pregnant until now. So you don't need to change anything other than the quantity. As the litter reaches the 3rd week, she is hitting her peak lactation period. And so that continues usually 3 and 4, at which point we're usually weaning puppies at some point. The analogy that was told to me by a veterinary nutritionist was that nursing 10 golden retriever puppies is the caloric equivalent of running 40 miles for a dog, which is a massive, massive caloric demand on her. She's also at the same time trying to recover her own body and heal her uterus and things like that. So we want to make sure that we're giving her lots and lots and lots of nutrition. If your bitch is losing condition at this period, you're not feeding her enough, or you need to increase the quality of the food. So perhaps you need to increase the fat percentage or the protein percentage for her. How do you know if she's losing condition? Don't look at her backbone. A lot of times people say, oh my gosh, the bitch is so skinny, her backbone's sticking out. Well, the reason her backbone's sticking out is because the weight of the milk, the weight of the mammary glands, is so great that it's pulling the skin on the backbone. And so it's better at this point to constantly be looking at ribs and feeling ribs, checking those floating ribs. You want to run your hands back there, and you should not be feeling a lot of indentation between the ribs. But you shouldn't need to be concerned if hips or spine are beginning to show some if she's nursing a large litter, because there's a lot of weight in those mammary glands right now.
Well, I want to say a big thank you to our guest, Dr. Gail Watkins from Avidog. And Gail, we really want to thank you, acknowledge your work, your contribution to our dog's health, the success for breeding, and all the research that you've done on how to raise better puppies. And I understand that you have a little gift for our listeners.
We do. We do. We so appreciate the opportunity to join you and meet your listeners in this way that we'd like to offer a coupon on our upcoming video series that takes our seminars. So we have a 2-day seminar on how to prepare your bitch and raise your puppies. And we're putting that onto an online video series. And we have a coupon for your listeners that will be available on our website, and I think you're going to be putting that link on your page.
Yeah, it'll be in the show notes.
Yep. So folks can go to that page, and we'll have a coupon for the video series, and we'll have a few other. We've got a white paper on doing adventure walks with puppies and things like that.
Great. And if you have not listened to the first two episodes, I encourage you to go back and listen to those. And next week, we will be having our fourth episode with Gail and going into the sensitive period of the puppies. Dr. Gail Watson, thank you very much.
Thanks, Mary.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. This will help share the love with others out there in the sport. This has been Pure Dog Talk with your host, Laura Reeves. We hope you can join us next time as we continue on the journey to success with your purebred dog.